first responders were busy over the weekend, responding to multiple calls that required a specialized response. In Shelter Cove, two hikers on the Lost Coast Trail found themselves stranded on a remote cliffside, holding on for their lives. Saturday's rescue required the coordinated efforts of six different agencies, utilizing millions of dollars in specialized equipment and extensive training. For more, we spoke with Shelter Cove Fire.
I'm Fire Chief Nick Pape, and over the weekend we had a call for a medical rescue out in the King Range, the area of Miller Flat. So we were dispatched to a report of two hikers that were trapped on a cliff above the water, and one of them had fallen and had moderate injuries, but we weren't sure at that point how far they had fallen or what the injuries were. So we sent our ocean rescue team out. It took approximately 15 minutes to get the team all together and launch the boat and jet ski. And at the same time, we requested help from the U.S. Coast Guard and awaited whether or not they're able to take the mission.
The Lost Coast Trail spans 25 miles along the coast from Petrolia to Shelter Cove. The hikers were located near the southern portion of the trail at Miller Flat.
So Miller Flat is about 8 miles from Shelter Cove. So it's north of Shelter Cove. It's on the furthest south point of the Lost Coast Trail flats. If people are familiar with the Lost Coast Trail, there's kind of three flats, Spanish, Big Flat, and Miller Flat. Miller Flat is the last one as you're heading south. One of the hardest spots to access due to the boulder field and the vertical cliffs. Land access is extremely difficult. There really isn't any trails in the area. And we've had quite a few rescues right there. It is closer to Shelter Cove. It's about 3/4 of the way through the trail itself. However, it is the last dangerous section as you're coming towards Shelter Cove.
Chief Pape was one of the crew members deployed to the rescue.
Yeah, so myself and one of our rescue swimmers, we headed out on the jet ski, and we arrived at scene first. Our rescue swimmer on the back of the jet ski actually spotted the first patient located about 60 foot above the high water line. We didn't expect to find a patient right there. They were definitely in a precarious area, being in the middle of a landslide at the base of a vertical cliff. And so not normally somewhere you find a hiker. And actually didn't see the second patient at all until the rescue swimmer swam in. Due to the shore break, it was about a 50-yard swim for them to be able to access it. And we were fortunate that the swells weren't too bad. They were definitely manageable, and then it was a fairly clean swell that day, so we could get pretty close with the jet ski.
Once crews arrived on scene, they realized it was unsafe for the rescue swimmer to reach the hikers, and it was unsafe for the hikers to move due to the precarious location, clinging to a cliffside on unstable ground.
They were pretty much frozen in place, and if they tried to move, they would slip, so they were holding themselves up with hiking poles that they had been using while they were on the hike. So our rescue swimmer really just sat there and tried to calm the patient down and tell him not to move, and tried to make contact with the patient that was another 60 feet above him and told him not to move, as they didn't want them knocking rocks or anything down on top of that patient. And we were able to send a second rescue swimmer in once the boat arrived with another three personnel, and the two of them together kind of tried to mitigate the danger of them moving around on the side of the cliff until the Coast Guard copter arrived on scene and was able to do a hoist rescue and pull those patients off.
Working in coordination with Shelter Cove rescuers on the ground, a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter from Air Station Humboldt Bay arrived on scene and conducted two complex high-angle hoist rescues. Although the area is associated with the Lost Coast Trail, there were no trails near the spot where the hikers became stranded. We asked Chief Pape how the two hikers found themselves in such a dangerous position.
No, unfortunately, we didn't get the full story before they declined medical treatment. There is a game trail in that area that we've had some previous people using before, and we've heard other stories of other people that thought that was the main trail. Speaking to BLM today, they're going to head out next week and try and mitigate it further. I know they've done other mitigation efforts, trying to keep people on the main trail. However, with the other wildlife out there and then people going off trail, it will lead those kind of false trails heading to dangerous locations, and that was something that we saw on this. Can't confirm that they didn't knowingly go off trail, but they did go off trail by quite a ways to get themselves in that situation.
Notably, these types of rescues are not unique in Shelter Cove. The fire department not only responds to wildland fire and medical calls, but also ocean and trail rescues along the rugged and remote Lost Coast, making their department uniquely equipped with trained volunteers.
This was kind of a normal call. The circumstances of where they were located would have made it a lot more dynamic had we not had the assistance from the U.S. Coast Guard. We knew exactly where this location was from previous rescues in the area. In 2019, we had the missing Canadian hiker, and it was in the exact same area, so we were pretty familiar with it. Our ocean rescue team is definitely a specialized team. Currently, we have 12 members that are cross-trained for all the different normal volunteer firefighter operations, structure fire, wildland fire, EMS, and they actually decide to go and show up on a Saturday every month to train on the ocean rescue side as well. And we have seen these type calls increase. I know the Lost Coast Trail traffic is increasing. We've had other calls closer to Shelter Cove of people that are coming out and enjoying the ecotourism aspect of our beautiful countryside.
And although the initial call to 911 reported that one of the hikers may have been seriously injured, both made it out alive, with one suffering a dislocated shoulder. Chief Pape said the rescue was difficult, but the overall outcome was a good one.
It's a good day when they're able to sign against medical advice and drive themselves home when, you know, just 15 minutes earlier they were in a life and death situation hanging above a cliff. We have a lot of pride in our ocean rescue team and the rest of our members, and we like to keep these type of operations going and providing these services for our community and our visitors that enjoy our area. However, it is expensive. This is one of the specialized programs that isn't in the normal volunteer response services. So we do pay a lot of these out of pocket. We try and get grant funds wherever we can. Measure Z obviously is a huge source of those, and we have to fight for that every year. And this is what we can do with the equipment when the volunteers are equipped in state-of-the-art gear. So we want to keep that message going that if you put these folks in gear and equip them and train them, and they'll show up and they'll do as good, if not better job than a lot of the career departments that are paid to be there full-time and trained 24/7.
You can see photos of the harrowing rescue at kmud.org.